solterà ni marie ora mi nuie tui honei o papu tua nuku e takatonei o te taiao e afinei ia tātou tihei mauri ora.
This is The Green Desk on 95 BFM. This week on Green Desk, Mitch talks to AUT's Head of Applied Ecology, Sebastian Leutzinger, who has recently published a study on newly discovered kauri tree stump that is keeping itself alive by connecting onto the roots of neighbouring trees via a root graft system. Mitch and Sebastian discuss how the system works and what this means for our understanding of kauri trees, moving away from the concept of the individual and towards the idea of kauri as superorganisms. Mitch begins by asking Sebastian how he and his colleague came across the new discovery.
The pure coincidence, I took Martin, my colleague, who was newly employed at AUT, took him for a walk at the west by Piha, and we virtually stumbled across this stump after about 20 minutes or so into the track. It's right in the middle of a walking track, and we just stood there and looked at it and realized, well, this guy's actually alive.
How do you, without any leaves on it or anything, how did you actually realize it was still going?
I guess, yeah, most people would walk past it and think it's dead, but you can see life tissue. It looks very much like, you know, the bark of a living tree. So it shows like decay on one side, and the other side is kind of overgrowing the dead parts. And it's easy to see for someone who's in the field, I guess.
Right.
But nobody would have noticed it before, probably.
So what came next? Like, so you've found this live stump that shouldn't really be alive. What came after that? What followed?
Well, you know, like a tree without foliage obviously has to be fed. It's like an animal. It's got to eat. It's got to be, because it can't photosynthesize. So we kept walking and, you know, we started discussing, like, what's going on there? And we knew about root grafting and all that sort of stuff. And we thought, you know, we got all these sensors, and we're both tree ecophysiologists. So it's right our field. And started to think what we could measure. And the first thing we had to do is get a permit to drill into the stump and surrounding trees to insert our sensors. And yeah, about 2 months later or so, he started. The main thing we measured is water movement in the tree. And it's, again, more or less by chance, because we did have these sensors. Measuring carbon exchange, which is obviously the one thing we wanted to get at first, is much harder. You have
right.
to trade carbon molecules. You can do that with some stable isotopes, for example. But we didn't have that sort of technique available, so we just resorted to our water sap flow sensors, they're called. They measure water movement in plant tissue. And that seemed to be quite a cool thing, because we actually measured this negative correlation. So during the day when the trees transpire, the stump is quiet. But then during the night and rainy days when the surrounding trees would not transpire, then the stump, you know, starts circulating water through tissues. And that is really the novel part. So it's not exact that the roots are actually connecting. This has been at least descriptively reported before. This is a bunch of older papers that show that, nothing more recent really. But the novel thing that we showed is really the hydraulic connections between trees, and that really opens up a lot of questions. The fact that carbon is exchanged between trees, that's been known, and you don't need root grafting for this. It can just happen via the fungi that connect roots, mycorrhizae. Quite a bit of literature on this, but the fact that they're also sharing water under the ground is really novel and opens up a lot of questions.
So is it sort of like a mutualistic relationship, or is the stump using them, or are other kauri using the stump?
Yeah, that's the interesting question. So the question is, you know, how does it come along, this connection between roots? And we must assume that the root grafts are in place before the trunk lost its foliage. It's very unlikely that the tree, you know, loses its foliage, chopped down, or for whatever reason it loses the photosynthetic active tissues, and then starts knocking on the neighbor's door saying, hey, can I get some water and carbon off you? I'm about to die. That's probably not what's happening, but the root grafts have been in place before. And then one tree dies, and it just keeps sucking carbon from the other trees. And if you look at, well, who benefits, or why does it, you know, do they continue feeding a stump that's no longer contributing to the grid, to the network, the underground network, if you wish, then it's possible that if you connect it to maybe 10 or 15 or 20 trees, it's simply impossible to identify the one that's no longer contributing carbon or water to the network. And the cost of maintaining this parasite, if you wish, is maybe just too low to have a mechanism in place to exclude that.
So how significant is this network that we're talking about?
Well, I mean, we can only speculate. You know, these measurements are done on a single stump with surrounding trees. And that was simply because we didn't find a second stump. We talked to a lot of people and some said, yes, I've heard of this phenomenon, but nobody could point us to a second stump. So, but if we think that this is a, you know, quite a widespread phenomenon and there's good reason to think that, then yeah, that's got pretty substantial implications. So for example, when you think of a drought, individual trees that would normally die, you know, are kept alive by surrounding trees. There's that thought of the forest as a superorganism. So, you know, is there an interest in of the forest to keep every single individual alive, regardless of how much it contributes in terms of water and carbon? So that's quite an interesting thought. And, of course, this is speculation at this point. But if, you know, if the future research shows that this is a more common phenomenon, then yes, we will have to change our, you know, the way we look at trees and come away from this notion of an individual tree to something like a, yeah, we call it the superorganism, you know, all connected via the what people have called the wood wide web under ground, where carbon, nutrients and water are shared. But then according to what rules and you know, who benefits, who you know, may have a cost associated with this. Is it in the interest of the forest as a whole that you know, a forest patch survives rather than individuals? These right. are big evolutionary questions that we can only speculate on at this point.
You said you found this out in West Auckland. Obviously, if they're sharing water under vast, vast networks, is that, or maybe it could be used to explain like how rapid the spread of Cody dieback has been out there?
Yeah, so that's exactly. Yeah, that was the. We are not forest pathologists, but we did talk to some, and you know, they all said, "Well, yeah, this is bad news, essentially, because if there are these water connections and if they're quite common in kauri trees, then we must assume that the pathogen can make its way via lateral to root connections as well, and of course that's no good because then, you know, this is something you can't really control. On the other hand, if a cure is ever found against kauri dieback,
of course,
it is maybe an advantage in the sense that you can inject it into one tree and then, you know, the treatment will spread through the roots. So you don't have to inject every single tree.
This is, to my understanding, what I've heard and what I've read about this. This is only occurring, in this case, the kauri stump connecting with other kauri trees. How is it recognizing its own species roots? Like how?
Yeah. I mean, this is a process not dissimilar to when you get a foreign kidney from some, it's possibly related, and it's all about, you know, making the body, in our case, or the tree realize this is close enough to what I am myself, and it's worth, or it's okay to connect with that particular tissue. How exactly it works, we don't know. We do know that there is also connections even between different species, which is, you know, very surprising because that would be genetically quite different. But it has been reported. And again, if both benefit, of course, evolution will eventually make this happen. The several advantages you can think of, also wind throw. If there's very strong wind, it's probably better if you're connected to other trees, yep. gives more stability.
Yeah, of course.
Could also be that, you know, you got better access to water resources. Even if you're connected to a dead, a seemingly dead, so a living stump, it could still, you know, during the day, you could access more water. And this is essentially what we measured. So during the day, when the stump is not doing anything, it acts essentially as an extension of the root system of the existing living trees. And then during the night, possibly the stump profits and circulates water through its tissue. Well, the trees take a break.
It's
interesting.
Obviously, they're swapping water and they're swapping nutrients and carbon and things like that. So is there any chance that this stump may have enough carbohydrate to grow back its leaves? Or is it sort of like life support?
So it's more of a, like press articles that came out, they, you know, called it a zombie tree. It's more of a zombie tree than
okay.
So normally a tree can grow back, but it's very unlikely, and looking at it and knowing of other living tree stumps, it's a phenomenon that's been shown before. They will not grow back any tissue. It is kind of a bit of a zombie tree, and it will not grow back into a normal tree for sure.
Right. This is crazy to me. This is awesome. So where to from here for you guys? Is this something that you guys are going to try and lead? You guys are going to explore more?
I mean, this opened up so many questions that we really want to follow up on. Yeah, no.
It's sort of shitting on our understanding of everything, eh?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And yeah, we want to keep on top of it. And what's holding us back is good students and a bit of funding. And there we go.
Awesome,
so
man.
If anyone is listening to this and wants to do a PhD at UT, then come and talk to us.
That was the Green Desk on 95 BFM. Tihei Modi Ora.